This is going to be a little bit of an exercise. You're going to have to just roll with me and deal with it. So I'm going to open this up. I want you to do me a favor and close your eyes. I'm going to put us in a place that I want you to just imagine. And in order to imagine, you can't have any other distractions. So close your eyes for me. I'm not going to come poke you or do anything crazy. All right. So I want you to imagine that you are at a splash pad or a spray park all by yourself. Raise your hand if you don't know what those two things are. Okay. So a splash pad or a spray park is this place where kids can go run and play, and there's buckets of water that dump all over you, kind of expectedly and unexpectedly. And there's just water kind of shooting out all over the place. So that's what it is. Keep your eyes closed, okay? You are prepared and you're dressed in swim attire. The water is warm and clean, mamas. Clean.
Yes.
Keep your eyes closed. Envision yourself walking over to the prettiest, most colorful looking bucket and standing underneath it. As you anxiously await the onslaught of fresh water dumping all over you, you try and bide the time by anticipating the tipping and the pouring of the tilting bucket. The bucket of water sways back and forth and pivots as it fills up. You can begin to hear the sloshing of water as the bucket fills. As you stand under the impending rush, you quickly try and convince yourself to stay and wait under the bucket to receive its rush of surprise. You also fight the urge to dart back to the safety of your dry towel before the impending surge. As the intensity of that battle rages within, the bucket continues to fill. Keep your eyes closed. I'm going to ask you a couple questions I want you to think about. Why is it that we struggle with accepting the known nature of the water pouring over us? Even if we really enjoy the spray park, we still struggle with the waiting and being in the exact right spot to receive the fullness of the flow of water as it pours over us. Open your eyes. For me, this is a very simple yet beautiful example of what God's grace looks like. Buckets and buckets of abundant grace tipping over on each area of our lives. If you're like me, I sometimes struggle with the excitement and the anticipation of the flow of God's grace. Why? Sometimes it's because I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy of such grace. Sometimes it's because I convince myself and we convince ourselves that we don't deserve the abundance of God's grace because of our own sin. Friends, God's grace is flowing in every aspect of our lives. We don't have to do anything. The Lord has already done it. We're going to explore three areas tonight of our lives that reflect this truth. So I'm going to need your help in a couple more ways. Look at your placemat that Jody and the women's serving team have so graciously put together. So, you know, in order to have a good discussion about grace, we should have a working definition of what it is, right? So there's a spot on your placemat to just jot down what grace is. Just take a minute to do that. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot unless they want to offer up what they're writing. But just take a minute to write down what grace is to you. And it's perfectly acceptable to leave that blank if you don't know. Because we're going to explore that a little bit tonight. Does everyone have a pen? All right, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. So grace, does anyone want to share what they wrote down? And it's totally okay if you don't. I'll tell you what I wrote down. Anyone want to share? Yeah, Joanne.
Okay, I know I don't have it exactly right because it's basically good things that happen that we didn't deserve.
Ah, did everyone hear that? It's a great definition. Thank you. Anybody else want to share?
Yeah, overlooking people's faults.
Ooh, I like that one. That's great. Great, great. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Unmerited favor?
Yes. That's one of the things I wrote, is unmerited favor. Yes. Great. The other things I have are free, undeserving help. I don't know if any of that resonated with you, but we're going to give grace some context in just a minute. I just wanted to start with a good definition that we can kind of catapult from. All right, underneath that, there's a question. underneath that definition of grace says something like, what bucket of grace are you struggling to live under? If you're kind of wondering, what does she mean by that? So here's what I mean. Is it a struggle with giving yourself grace in the area of how you look? Is it a struggle with personal expectations gone wild? In other words, I should be able to manage working full-time, cooking a beautiful meal every night, my house should be spotless, my children should never misbehave. Is that your struggle? Is it a struggle with wanting your spiritual walk to look really neat and pretty? Daily quiet time with God, daily prayer, a diligent study of God's word? Or is it a struggle with your emotional walk? Outbursts of anger, lack of compassion, lack of humility? Sign me up. As we walk through our discussion tonight, I'd like you to see which area or category your struggles fit into. Are they part of your spiritual walk, your emotional walk, or your physical walk? And by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight, ladies, I want us to embrace the change that our mindsets will take on when we embrace God's word and apply it to our struggles. Okay, so for the ease of discussion, I've broken grace down into three areas of our lives: physical, emotional, and spiritual. Okay? You can jot those kind of on the side, and as we go through this, you're going to use those more. So we're going to talk about the physical walk first. We all have ideas and expectations for our physical walk. For some of us, that means literally, i.e. going to a gym somewhere. For others, our physical walk means reading a book, or cooking, or sewing, or gardening, or taking a trip outside, walking down the bosque. It can be a variety of different things. Others, I don't know about you, sorry, I jumped ahead of myself, but when I find myself struggling in this area, it's often because I'm expecting way too much from my physical body. I'm too busy, I'm too tired, or simply not meeting my own expectation of being able to keep up and manage our home. The physical cycle of stress and expectation builds a funnel of grace flow that never seems to reach my soul. I feel like I'm standing under this bucket of physical grace, right, like we envisioned when we started, that seems to continuously fill, but it never seems to empty on me. Why is this? We're going to talk about that. Is it because the bucket never tips over? Well, the laws of physics tell us that that's not true. Is it because I feel like a failure in not being able to sustain the onslaught of physical demands? Maybe. Nonetheless, this line of thinking is not only not true, but it's sin. So let's talk about some ways that we can look into God's word, see what he has to say about grace in this way, to arm ourselves with the truth. All right, so I'm going to need somebody to help me here. There's some Bibles kind of spread out through the tables. If somebody could look up 2 Corinthians 12:9, please. And somebody else, Mark 6:31. That would be awesome. So just holler out when you have it, and then you can. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Yes, ma'am.
And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.
Amen. Right? Paul is boasting in his own weakness there, friends. We were created to be insufficient in order for that grace of God to flow over us without us doing. The only thing we do is what, right? We accept that we're sinners in need of grace. All right, who's got Mark 6:31? Yes, ma'am.
And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat.
Perfect. Okay, so here we see, just for some context, Jesus is feeding the 5,000 here as some background. And what we see is that Jesus being Lord over the potentially chaotic scene, which we can all relate to, right, in our lives of just, some days are just chaos, right? The disciples have to rest in Jesus, in him, in order to gain rest. I'm sure this hits home for most all of us. If not, let me know who you are, because I'd love to learn from you. The steady stream of life doesn't always allow us to rest, does it? In those times of physical exhaustion and burnout, we know that we can trust the safety and the comfort of rest that only the Lord can offer. You know, I love how Jesus demonstrates the importance of the physical walk with us by teaching us just the opposite, right? He teaches us how to rest, not just literally, but also in Him. He knew when He created us how important rest would be, and He also knew how difficult it would be for most of us. That's me, because I'm a doer. He tells us through His Word, which we just talked about, right? And He demonstrates it by resting, not only on the Sabbath, but also acknowledging His disciples' needs for rest. You see, when we're physically rested, whether that's literally or when we're resting in Jesus, just like the disciples did in Mark 6, we are then free to live under the buckets of grace that God gives for you. I want to encourage you tonight to look at your list that you just jotted down at the beginning. Look at the struggles that are related to the physical walk. I want you to write the verses that we just talked about down next to those. So Mark 6:31 and 2 Corinthians 12:9 were the two verses. And I want you to choose to be refreshed by the abundant flow of God's grace in your physical walk. All right, so moving right along. The second area that we're going to talk about is grace in your spiritual walk. So once again, I don't know about you, but I struggle with this in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's a struggle with being in a season of spiritual dryness in my prayer life. Sometimes it's a struggle with the desire to want to be in God's Word. Sometimes the struggle's in the roteness of going through the motions of just checking my spiritual boxes with God. Did this. Do any of those resonate with you? They do with me. How often is our relationship with the Lord constrained by our own expectations of what our daily walk with God should actually look like? We're going to go to God's Word again for some guidance and insight into what grace in our spiritual lives looks like. We're going to head to Luke chapter 11, so if y'all can meet me there. Once again, if somebody would not mind reading, we're going to read Luke 11, 1 through 13, which is a good chunk of scripture. If someone can just jump in and start reading, that'd be great. Luke 11, 1 through 13.
It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after He had finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught His disciples." And He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'"
Keep going a little bit north through 11 if you can, Michelle.
Oh,
thank
you. Keep on going?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Then He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he answers and says, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?"
Thank you, ladies. Okay, so let's go back to verse 2 here. We're going to look at this a little bit. What we see is that the Lord is talking to His disciples, right? And one of them asks, "Teach me how to pray," right? This is part of our spiritual walk. The Lord then follows up in verses 2 through 4 with a picture of grace, right? We pray by acknowledging who God is, acknowledging who we are, right, as sinners in need of grace and forgiveness in verse 4, and then by sharing our burdens or desires with our Father. You see, prayer is an amazing picture of grace because it depicts this relationship that's based on none of our own merits. This relationship between our Father and you and I is based solely on the grace he has for us in desiring relationship with us, the people he's created. We're never going to be able to reciprocate it, let alone be able to fill a bucket of grace, right, until it overflows. But he loves us so much, friends, that he freely pours out buckets and buckets of grace in our spiritual walks because he just wants to be with us. He just wants to commune with you. Where do you need to receive God's bucket of grace in your spiritual walk? Is it in the roteness of checking boxes with God? Is it in your unbelief that you're worthy to commune with a holy God? Is it in thinking that it has to look a certain way? If so, you've come to the right place. The cross opens up the flow of grace in our conversations with God through prayer. God wants us to talk to him, and he's ready and waiting. Will you join me in receiving the life-giving flow of his grace in our spiritual walk? All right, this is a sidebar, but I'm really curious because it had a huge impact on me. Did anyone hear Pastor Frank's sermon on the 6th of January or the 13th about prayer? Okay, was it not awesome? Mm-hmm. It was really awesome. We missed those weeks, but I was encouraged to listen to it, and I was so grateful. So I'm going to do the same for you. It was extremely powerful. God really used him to speak truth to me, and I would like you to write that down as a note that most of his sermons are online. Am I right?
All of them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you miss a week, I would just really encourage you to listen to those too. And I'm going to close this little segment here with a quote from Pastor Frank on his January 6th sermon. He says, "We pray for the Holy Spirit to sharpen us where we are dull, to show us where we're deceived by sin, and to stir our spiritual affections." End quote. You know, may that be our prayer as we learn grace in our spiritual lives. Okay, so real quick, I want us to look back at our lists, our struggles that we made at the very beginning. And if you're still kind of building that list, that's great. But I'd like you to kind of label those struggles as if they're spiritual based. I want you to put Luke 11 and those sermons from Pastor Frank next to those, because we're going to arm ourselves with truth of God's grace as we navigate this. Okay, last but not least is grace in our emotional walks. You know, so this one is just, I'm going to just say it. It's raw for me, ladies. If you were a fly on the wall in our house on any given day, you might be privy to the emotional struggles with grace that are familiar to many of you, at least I would hope. Outbursts of anger, lack of humility, lack of love, lack of self-control. The list goes on and on, and I'm not talking about my kids. You'd also be privy to the struggle with despair and discouragement as we battle the repetitive nature of our sin. Have you ever thought, here I am again, yelling at my kids, being unkind, being graceless, saying the same thing I've said 30,000 times that I could have said better? I have. The responses from our own hearts are often graceless, right? Sometimes Satan pesters us, right, with the lies in our own minds about sin. And we choose to believe those lies instead of receiving the free waterfall of grace that God has given us through the blood of Jesus on the cross. I struggle with facing my sin nature as I repeatedly battle the same sins again and again. I struggle thinking about how undeserving I am of God's grace. The struggle is real and raw, isn't it? Yet he, this is super powerful, he has overcome all of it, every single struggle that we face. And by his grace, there is hope. So let's go find that hope. We're going to go to Romans 3:23. Can someone help me out with that? And then Psalm 130 and Hebrews 4:16. Those are the three I need help with.
Here, 3:23.
Yeah.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Thank you. Can you read 24 as well?
Oh, yeah. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. 25.
Amen. No, stop right there. That's great. Does anyone have Psalm 130?
I've got it.
Okay, be great.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revealed. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all iniquities.
Okay, does anyone have Hebrews 4:16?
I do.
Great.
Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen. Not only is grace a free gift, but we're justified and declared not guilty, right? Before a holy God. Pshh. I don't see anyone else's brain going pshh, but mine just went pshh. You know, God's steadfast love shines through even the deepest, darkest places of our souls, right? Truths like this, the verses we just read, absolutely blow my mind because it's so hard to comprehend the fullness and the depth of that kind of love and grace. It sounds almost too good to be true, right? Not right. We deny the cross when we're unwilling to accept the pouring out of this grace. So I want us to look at our lists again and try to identify if there's any emotional walk-related things that we can tag these verses to. So you can write Hebrews 4:16, Psalm 130, and Romans 3:23 through 24 next to some of your emotional walk struggles. You know, as we walk this together, I want you to know that I would encourage each of you to give your struggles to the God of grace and mercy. Pray scripture. We've just armed ourselves with truth to be able to do that. Replace the deceptive thoughts or behaviors with the truth of God's word regarding grace and hide it in your hearts. May we come together, grab hold of one another, cling to God's word, and draw near to the buckets of grace that God promises. You know, as we close our time together, I want to encourage you with a quote that I recently read from a book called Call to Rise. It's an autobiography of the former Dallas police chief. His name is David Brown. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. It's an amazing book. But he finished his book by saying this. He says, "Grace, it is the mystery that permeates our stories from beginning to end. It cannot be earned, nor does it ever run dry. In fact, it often appears exactly when it's most needed, during times of great heartache and trial. And it doesn't just show up. When it arrives, it changes everything."